Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Last week, Deputy Paul Murphy asked the Minister for Enterprise, Tourism and Employment, Peter Burke, if he will amend the National Minimum Wage Act 2000 to include apprentices in its remit, because they are currently aren't included. Well, joining me to discuss this is Aaron, who is an electrical apprentice, and Brian Nolan, who is Assistant General Secretary of Connect Trade Unions. And you're both very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. Aaron, to come to you first, you're in your fourth year now of an electrical apprenticeship, but for a long time you weren't being paid the minimum wage for the work that you were doing, were you?
No, I wasn't. No, I'm only, as a fourth year now, up pushing the minimum wage mark. And for me and for a lot of other apprentices I know, that has been very, very tough and very, very demanding financially to within the trade, within your college, and to continue living your life when a lot of people, it just didn't suffice.
Because you are living in Cork for most of the week, because that's where you're doing the college side of your training, and then working up in Dublin. So you're trying to, I suppose, almost keep two lives going, rent accommodation, I take it, in Cork, pay for food, pay for expenses, pay for travel, and then work on top of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not to mention a lot of these apprentices, so that, you know, yeah, we're coming down from Dublin to Cork or vice versa. But my phase four is in Sligo. You're having to pay rent. People might have to pay rent when they go back home. Gas and electric, we're feeding ourselves. A lot of people run cars, petrol, tools, PPE. And it's like every time you get paid, the money's already left your account before you even see it, you know?
But some will say, Aaron, you know, it is an apprenticeship. It is training, and that's why you're being paid a lower wage than those within the industry who, you know, have been doing it for a longer period of time and have, I suppose, all of their qualifications under their belt.
Absolutely, but I think in this day and age, things are starting to cost a lot more. We're seeing it in the shops. I mean, we work in a very hard, safety-orientated environment. It's working a full-time job, basically, you know, and not getting the minimum wage for it. I go in and, you know, a lot of apprentices, we work just as hard as the other people who are qualified, but our wage doesn't reflect that.
So do you feel then that the wage reflects the work that you do, and maybe more importantly, the responsibilities that you have to carry?
Absolutely. I mean, I work in a place where, you know, you're running off your feet all day. You're working over 1,500 volts of electricity. It's very safety orientated. And by no means do we think we deserve what the qualified people deserve. You know, they went through the same thing, and that's what they deserve. But especially with the cost of living now and the price of petrol, eating, again, the accommodation when you get sent to the other side of the country just to go to college, it'll be nice to get a boost and more interest in the apprentice wage.
Brian, to bring you in there, why does your union believe that apprentices who, as I said, are going through training programs should receive the minimum wage for that?
Hey, Ciara and Aaron, thanks for having us on the show. Yeah, listen, we've been campaigning for this for a long time. To put it into context, it's more than just training. It's often referred to as earn while you learn, but really it's what it should be referred to as productivity as you learn, because these apprentices deliver for employers. They work hard. They work 29 plus hours every week, and they learn while they work for the majority of the apprenticeship. So 80% of it is in the workplace. At least 80% of it's in the workplace. But they are delivering, and they wouldn't be a feature of employment unless employers saw them as a valuable part of the workforce. So I think at this stage what we're saying is, and I think Aaron has summed it up well, nobody's looking to compare an apprentice, a brand new apprentice, to somebody that's been qualified for 5, 10, 20 years. But I think it's reasonable to compare them with entry level workers who get the national minimum wage. And to consider that construction apprentice, for example, would start on €7.67, it's a far cry from the national minimum wage. Considering the demographic of apprenticeship has changed over the last 20 years, they're not school leavers necessarily now. We have men and women in their 30s and 40s even turning into apprenticeship because they see a good future in it. But short term, it's a huge disadvantage and a huge commitment for people who have a life and who have commitments to say, I'm going to go from whatever wage or maybe on, maybe minimum wage, maybe higher, down to €7.67. So we're only asking for a bit of fairness in relation to these workers who are productive. For the very workers we need to build houses, to work on railways, to build schools, hospitals, all the infrastructure that we need here in Ireland.
How would you respond to employers who would argue that higher apprenticeship wages would reduce, actually, the number of apprenticeship opportunities available?
Well, you know, an argument will never go by where an employer doesn't suggest if they can get away with paying lower, they will. I mean, that's the very reason we're in this spot we are, because the national minimum wage doesn't cover apprentices. And while there are many employers who have moved to pay the minimum wage or even the living wage, the fact that it's prescribed by law or this exemption is allowed for in a law sees employers take advantage of it. But the argument that apprentices wouldn't be taken on is kind of dismantled by the fact that when there's a demand on work, be it construction, be it any craft-orientated industry, they hire craft workers because they need them. They need apprentices as the bloodline for that craft work. So the investment in an apprenticeship today, within 4 years, could be the craft worker that's delivering for their company. So it's bad maths, to be quite honest with you. I mean, it's an investment in their own labour force and their own skill set as a company.
I suppose they could say, look, we have to invest in that worker when they're there. You know, we have to give them guidance. We have to help them along. We have to teach them what to do. That puts an extra burden on us and on our own employees.
Well, I think, to be fair, most employers of apprenticeship would see the big picture. The majority would. We'll always have exceptions to the rule, but most employers will see the benefit of having apprentices because a first year might be quite new to the system, may not come with a lot of experience, might have life experience, for example, with the older apprentices and that they'll bring to the company. But as they progress through their apprenticeship, they are learning. Their learning outcomes have increased, their ability to deliver for the company. So there's a point in time where they're probably very profitable for the company because at one stage, be it as a third year or fourth year, they're carrying on the tasks that a qualified worker would do. So we don't hear the reverse argument that, you know, apprentices are making us money, so we shouldn't have them. You know, so they get the return from apprentices. But long term, they have a worker who understands the craft, the trade, and more importantly for an employer, if they keep the individual, they understand their company and the way they work.
So when they're paying them 7 or 8 euro or even 9 euro an hour, they're getting great value for money.
Well, arguably, yeah. And I mean, how they manage and how they teach the apprentice. You see, a lot of employers who put the effort into apprenticeship see the return. Those that see them as cheap labour will never get the return because they're not taking the time to educate the apprentice. And that is a problem. No doubt about that. That's where quality assurance comes in under the apprenticeship structures. And it is a statutory programme. That's worth pointing out because it's covered by statute. There's a lot of structure around quality assurance. And it does come with a qualification that's recognised internationally. So the employer will get as much out of that apprentice as they put into that apprentice.
What evidence or examples does the union have regarding, I suppose, the impact of this low apprentice pay, particularly it appears in the first couple of years, on recruitment and retention into the industry?
Well, for the longest time now, for the last number of years, I should say, well, we've been hearing back from employers that they're having difficulty finding labour, be it qualified, which eliminate from an apprentice going through the process and qualifying, and maybe identifying candidates for apprenticeship. But we did a survey for our biennial conference in 2024 where we reached out to the apprentices who obviously had taken up the invitation or the offer of an apprenticeship and asked them for their experience. And our experience in that was they all said the national minimum wage had to be dealt with. The basic wage for apprentices had to be, from their perspective, having gone through and having the scars on their back, they felt it was one of the easiest things to happen to make it more attractive for people in industry. We do speak to people who have, through our membership, who would share their own experience and say they may not have gone down the road of apprenticeship because of the difficulties of cost as opposed to anything else. And you do get that quite a lot when you're speaking to older people who would say, I'd have loved to be an electrician, I'd love to be a plumber, a carpenter, or so forth.
Do you hear that, Aaron? Do you hear that from maybe friends and peers who might be interested in becoming an apprentice electrician or apprentice carpenter and think, you know what, I'm just not willing to sort of work full time almost for 4 years or 5 years and not get paid better for it?
Yeah, absolutely. I hear it all the time. I can think of numerous people where, you know, apprenticeships aren't age restricted. You know, I know a lot of men who are 30 or 40 or say women, and they have a wife and kids at home. And now they have to go down the country and, you know, start off at the lowest wage. So these people have to take up second jobs just for gas and electric in the household, you know. And only now, in my fourth year, say, they're with me, they're at a more comfortable stage. But that big leap, I mean, it's almost no support to go back down to that level of wage. Leave a full-time job where you've been working for 5, 6, 7 years, and then go to the apprenticeship.
I just wanted to just bring you in very briefly, Brian, because we're actually getting a big reaction on the text line here. Apprentices are the same as college students. They're learning their degrees. I can't understand how they expect to be paid to be trained. I wish I had gotten paid when I went to college all those years ago, says Peter in Galway. Student nurses, says another person, work 12-hour shifts and get paid nothing. So a lot of people saying, look, it's just like going to college and you don't expect to get paid during those years. What do you say to that?
It's apples and oranges, to be quite honest with you. I mean, apprentices earn while you learn. These individuals pay tax, USA, PRSI. They deliver that productive. I'm not suggesting students, and particularly in the case of nurses, I absolutely believe nurses should be paid. There's no doubt about that. One time there was a profession that was delivered through apprenticeship, by the way, that's worth pointing out. But there's no doubt the argument that because I didn't get something means somebody else shouldn't get something isn't the answer to this. Maybe students, maybe apprentices in different professions or trainees in different professions need to look at their own profession. We're talking about apprentices who deliver for our infrastructure, for our services. They're learning a craft. More than 80% of that apprenticeship is spent physically walking and delivering. There's no benevolence here from employers. They get a return from what they put into apprenticeship. And we're saying they should be treated no different to any other worker if we're to sustain the levels that the government and everyone else acknowledges we need to build the houses, build the infrastructure, to build a metro, to build whatever we need.
Aaron and Brian Nolan, thanks so much for joining us on The Hard Shoulder. Most health and social care professionals and pharmacy students don't get paid in placement and have to live away from home, says another texter. You learn nearly everything you need to know as an apprentice in the first 2 years, says another texter. The 4 years is for college. I've worked with first years better than qualified, but the qualified lads have the unions behind them. Do keep your texts coming into
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.